This is top of the hour. I love the music, love the song, but we're going to have to cut it short. And because we got Ed on hold, and I want it before we go back to him after the next break, which is in like 4 minutes. I want to get into Philip Bobbitt and the Shield of Achilles again, War, Peace, and the Course of History. What they're trying to do with the medical benefits issue is to create a new market. They've already said this. Even Obama's come out and said it, that they want to have this marketplace to where people can go. And they are trying to literally create this market state, move from a nation state, the United States of America and Canada, and merge the three and Mexico together into this new quote-unquote market state, taking a constitutional monarchy in Canada, marrying it with a constitutional republic in the United States, with Mexico in whatever form you want to call it. I don't know. It's a banana republic as far as, you know, there's five families that basically control Mexico right now. But let me read this real quick, and we'll go back to Ed after the break. Let me throw out the call-in number for anybody bold enough to pick up the phone and say that they're going to actually do something and get off their hind quarter and at least try instead of just throwing their hands up and giving up. The historic consequences of the long war. Thesis: the market state is superseding the nation state as a consequence of the end of the long war. The long war is defined by them as World War I, which included World War II, and Korea and Vietnam, and 1990, the fall of the wall in Berlin. So the book ends on that, the end, that long war. Cheney knows all about this, as do these, you know, royalists, that the long war, as they define it, started in 1914 and basically ended in 1990. So now you know that, listen to this. And the market state is the next generation. Prior to our first Civil War, and I would say that we're in one now, we had a state nation. After the Civil War, we had a nation state. The difference being that the state nation was a bunch of states that came together to form a nation. And after that, it was incorporated to where central control. The state governments did not really have the ability to leave the Union. They had been incorporated. You know, it's almost like the Borg. To where, you know, once you become one, you're sucked in and you become a member of the hive. And that's, you know, effectively what's going on here. And they want to do that with Canada and Mexico now to move to this territorial state or continental state, or what they call now the market state. The end of the long war has been quickly followed by the emergence of a new constitutional order. Think about that. A new constitutional order. It's treason. This new form is the market state, whereas the nation state, with its mass free public education, remember I've talked about free society? That's how our system was set up, to charge taxes upon the royal families and their kingdoms and their subjects, to impoverish them and free their people, to take their subjects and make them into citizens of a republic and give them the opportunity to do that. And instead, this has been flipped around upon us, and the taxes are being imposed by the royal families upon our citizens here in the United States. This new form is the market state, whereas the nation state, with its mass free public education, universal franchise, and social security policies promise to guarantee the welfare of the nation. The market state promises instead to maximize the opportunity of the people, and thus tends to privatize many state activities and to make voting and representative government less influential and more responsive to the market. The United States, a principal innovator in the development of the market state, must fashion its strategic policies with this fundamental constitutional change in mind. Be very clear, and let me read this part again. And to make voting and representative government less influential and more responsive to the market. That's fascism. It's corporatism. It's royalism. It's feudalism. We'll be right back, and we'll get back to Ed right after. 800-313-9443. Right back.
An important part of healing in youth involves your body's ability to create proteins at a rate faster than your body is breaking down. The process of creating proteins is orchestrated by amino acids and repair proteins, both of which become deficient in the typical person's body the older they get, so that by age 40, the rate of repair has declined enough that the effects are very noticeable to most people. Chrysalis is a liquid spray nutritional supplement that supplies the body an essential repair protein. By taking Chrysalis, you can potentially improve your overall rate of repair. This product is reported to have a profound track record of success. People frequently report deeper sleep, more energy, better mood, aches and pains going away, loss of body fat, gray hair reversing, vision improvement, and much more. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Go to learnthesecrets2youth.com. That's learnthesecrets2youth.com or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
They say 50 is the new 40. I like that idea. But it won't change the facts about prostate health. At my age, you have to understand what the prostate affects. Urine flow, intimacy, sleeping habits, overall quality of life. So if you're like me and you want to give your body nutritional support for a healthy prostate, then take what I take. All natural beta prostate. Now, many men try Saw Palmetto, but Beta Prostate has hundreds of times more healthy plant sterols. In Europe, doctors prescribe plant sterols for prostate support, but here you can get them in non-prescription Beta Prostate. This is targeted nutrition, and it works with your body. So why wouldn't you take this amazing nutrient? Here's a number you can call to try Beta Prostate risk-free. Call 800-362-5848. Your satisfaction is guaranteed or you get your money back. 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
All right, we're back, and I'm going to jump to Ed here real quick, but let me say one more thing before I go to him. We've got a long segment here, so he'll have plenty of time. If you go to the Coast Guard Wikipedia page, it says the National Response Center. You go down a little bit, and you've got a search and rescue. You've got a branch of military carrying on search and rescue. you know, the Air Force doesn't use its satellites for anything but defense. It's too important. National security. Oh, no, we're going to go find a hiker. Yeah, we're going to take our satellites that are intended for protecting 300 million people, and granted that one person's life is important if we can do it without taking our ball, you know, our eyes off the ball, maybe. But we have other assets and means to do that. We can set up satellites for that purpose specifically. But you have a branch of military that is the first responder in civilian affairs. That is a branch of military that is the first responder and is can charge civilians with infractions of civilian law. A branch of military that is the first responder and that can try civilians in its own self-made courts. It's a branch of military operating under military law in Homeland Security, but it's also a branch of military that runs the National Response Center. It's operated by the U.S. Coast Guard. The National Response Center is the sole U.S. government point of contact for reporting environmental spills, Exxon Valdez, contamination, and pollution. You have a branch of military responding to contamination, pollution, environmental spills. And the reason for this is, you know, if you're a fascist country, you want to protect any and all corporate interests that might be involved and sequester it first with a branch of military so that you can hide all the evidence. The primary function of the National Response Center is to serve as the sole national point of contact for reporting all oil, chemical, radiological, biological, and etiological discharges into the environment anywhere in the United States and its territories. In addition to gathering and distributing spill data for federal on-scene coordinators, civilians, and serving as the communications and operations center for the National Response Team, civilians, and a bunch of military mixed in there now, the NRC maintains agreements with a variety of federal entities to make additional notifications regarding incidents meeting established trigger criteria. It's a branch of military trigger. I mean, come on. They're using terms like trigger. And sure, yeah, you know, it could be used, but I think they wear their minds on their cuff. The NRC also takes terrorist suspicious activity reports and maritime security breach reports. Details on the, and, you know, I'm sorry, but if you go to the Quirin precedent with eight German saboteurs who greeted them at the water's edge and took a bribe from them, it was a Coast Guardsman. Sorry. Yeah, they're real responsive and trying to protect us from the white Anglo-Saxon invasion from these German royalists, loyalists. Who own and control the United Kingdom and England. The NRC also takes terrorist suspicious activity reports and maritime security breach reports. Details on the NRC organization and specific responsibilities can be found in the National Oil and Hazardous Substances Pollution Contingency Plan. With that said, let me go back to Ed because he's been holding and very patient. Ed, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry,
you
go ahead.
You asked about what our Canadian people know about NAFTA. Well, we had one of the meetings was in Miramichi, Quebec, and after that meeting, supposedly a trade meeting, a member of the press asked Bush and Harper,
right,
while the Mexican stood to the side, if this was about the North American Union.
Well, this is when they signed the SPP, right, and they were all shaking hands in front of that white banner.
Yeah, and Bush replied that this is laughable and comical. And it gave a little bit of talk about how silly it was to listen to these theories. And then Harper made a little speech saying, no, it's about trade. It's about standardizing products. Like we have three different standards of jelly beans, and we should have it all the same to facilitate trade. Okay? They denied that there was anything about NAFTA. Then the Manitoba government came out with its throne speech. You know, as you know, the Canadian Parliament has a speech.
Right.
To deliver their really a budget speech, okay? And what they had in the budget speech was funding for the NAFTA highway.
Well, speaking of jelly beans, do you know that Gottlieb, which is the company that owns the Jelly Bellies, Reagan, when he was president and also governor of California, he bought with taxpayer dollars, as president alone, 8,000 pounds of Jelly Belly jelly beans from these German industrialist candy makers who use... See, people don't understand how this system works, and you have the same thing up there. Sarah Heath Palin is the heiress to Heath Candy Bar fortunes. They were awarded a grant from the royal families working within our government to seed this family within our system, within our republic, with a military federal contract in the middle of World War II to provide English, not American toffee, but English toffee to the troops.
Yeah. Yeah, there's all sorts of these things going on. But I have to point out that a lot of these people, that they're designated as being from one nationality or another, like saying that this guy is a German or that guy's a German, most of them are not real blood Germans. It's just because they lived in Germany.
Well, yes. And I mean, because the Roman Empire, what was Rome? It was everyone and anyone from everywhere.
Yeah, any place they conquered, they took the people and they put those that wanted to be into the army. And they
or even people migrated there, though, like from other city-states or nations, Germania being one. You know, the Roman army was predominantly German or Germanic by the end of the empire.
But
and that was one of the things that, you know, helped bring it down. But and all these people call themselves Italians.
Yeah, but the people that they call Germans today, a whole lot of them are not Germans. They're Ashkenazics. They come from the Khazar nation that once ruled from the Black Sea to Finland.
Well, and but I would go back even before that, that they're actually Sumerian, Phoenician, Babylonian, that they're this, whether you want to call it a nation of people or a bunch of families that are tightly married together, they're administrators. They know how government works, and they invade and infest a government and use it to enrich themselves.
And a large number of the royal families bought their titles in the first place. For instance, Prince Philip calls himself, Philip of, well, I forget what he's called today, but it's really his family title comes from Battenberg.
And they changed, exactly right.
Yeah, they changed the name.
But even the Windsors used to be called Saxe-Coburg-Gotha. That is the family name. They're Hessians. They're Germans, and you have to remember, you know, the Holocaust and everything that happened in World War II and all that. It was, and whether you believe it happened or not, yes, it did. It happens in every war. They do this to people. They enslave them and put them in camps. This has been going on for thousands of years. But what happened was you had really rich people going after their own people, whether they were Germanic or not, and many of these Jewish people in Germany, they're Germans. I'm sorry, they're Germans. Everything that happened in Germany on either side of the fence, because you had people in Germany that ignored that these camps were going on, that they were actually providing bread to these prison and labor camps, and saying that they did not know what was going on. And you could actually, when the Americans went into some of these towns, they could smell the death in the town.
Have you ever heard of what happened after the war?
Well, yeah, we left a lot of people in the prison and labor camps, Roosevelt did, for quite some time because we were afraid that some of the prison guards may have put themselves in as prisoners. So rather than relieving these people, and, you know, 95% of them or more were prisoners, were in there for political or financial or other reasons, or you know, as slaves. Instead of doing everything to get them out and get them healthy and restore their lives, because it wasn't just Jews who were in these prison and labor camps. There were Christians, there were Muslims, there were Catholics, there were Protestants even. Right. These camps were used just like what we've done now in Afghanistan, where you had families turning in families over, you know, long-standing disputes between the families, you know, feuds, and selling out their neighbors for $5,000 to the U.S. Army. And these people really had done nothing wrong, just that their neighbors wanted their land, their property, and their women. That's the kind of stuff that goes on. That's human nature.
Right. Have you ever heard of the book called Other Losses?
Not offhand, no.
Well, it was written by a Canadian named James Bach, B-A-C-Q-U-E, and he had stumbled across this thing. He's some sort of a historian, and he had stumbled across this thing, Other Losses, being a whole bunch of deaths that were written up in reports on the death count of World War II. And he discovered that after the war was declared over, that they had, the Americans and the French had set up prison camps and put the German military plus a large number of civilians into compounds.
Yep.
Okay. And they
movie out about that. I've seen it. Yep. And I can't remember what it was, but they had where you could see the battles and squabbles that were going on, where all these people, some of them were, you know, and you could say that they were just trying to do their job or whatever, but at some point, you know, you know, look what we're doing now to excuse torture. Look what we're doing now to excuse grabbing people without even a system in place to prosecute them for any kind of a crime and to hold them indefinitely. And these concepts are migrating over into everything else.
I learned about this before the book and the movie because I had a friend that was a German who lived in a town right next to one of the camps that they had. It was a compound.
Can you hold on? I'll go right back to you after the break.
Okay.
And hold that thought, okay? We'll be right back.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right, to fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work. We can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Is credit card debt stressing you out? If you're serious about regaining control of your finances, Big Solutions, the country's leading nonprofit debt management and consumer credit counseling service, can get you back on track. Whether you're behind with your payments or just frustrated with balances that never seem to go down, BSI can help you. Creditors have given Big Solutions very special repayment arrangements to help you get out of debt. These include lowering interest rates by 50% or more, bringing past due accounts current, and stopping harassing collections calls. BSI's team of certified financial counselors can consolidate all your credit card bills into one low monthly payment.
I chose BSI because they never asked for high fees I couldn't afford, and my creditors told me that Big Solutions had a great reputation.
Call the debt specialist at Big Solutions right now at 1-800-497-7722 to receive more information. BSI works with your lenders, but more importantly, Big Solutions works for you. Take control of your finances. Call 1-800-497-7722.
Attention RBN listeners, the Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
All right, we're back, and I want to real quick, before I go back to Ed, is there's a part in here about the history of the Coast Guard, if you go to this Wikipedia page, and it says the roots of the Coast Guard lie in the United States Revenue Cutter Service, established by Alexander Hamilton. If you look at Hamilton, you know, and Aaron Burr and the whole thing with the Republican Democratic Party, and Tammany Hall and more, you start to understand that there was a lot more. There was those who were still beholding to the crown and those who were not. And I would say Hamilton was one who was beholding to the crown because he tried to set up a centrist military organization in the Revenue Cutter Marine that was basically taken away from him, decentralized, and turned over to the custom houses. But the Coast Guard won't tell you that, and neither will Homeland Security. But by Alexander Hamilton under the Department of the Treasury on 4 August 1790. The first U.S. Coast Guard station was Newburyport, Massachusetts. Until the reestablishment of the United States Navy in 1798, and they're twisting the facts here unbelievably, the Revenue Cutter Service was the only naval force of the early U.S., which is a crock. It was established to collect, listen to this, you'll love this, and I just, you know, this goes off to my northern neighbor, to Ed. It was established to collect taxes from a brand new nation of patriot smugglers. I don't know if that doesn't sound UK British-ish, to where it was established to collect taxes. No, it was established to collect tariffs from foreign flag vesselers, smugglers who were smuggling stuff from the United Kingdom into the United States from Canada and other places and getting around our tariffs. You know, it wasn't to go after a bunch of Patriot smugglers. I can't even believe what they try to put out there. It's a bunch of tripe. And then they say, well, when the officers were out at sea, they were told to crack down on piracy. And while they were at it, they might as well rescue anyone in distress, which, you know, even putting Ashton Kutcher, and gee, is that a German name? I think so. In the movie Coast Guard, is just extremely laughable. I mean, and what the Coast Guard is, and now it's a special branch of military that can do everything and anything that all other branches of military are barred from doing. Back to Ed.
Yeah, I was relating what I learned from a friend of mine who had grown up in one of the towns in Germany. He lived in a house across a road from one of these post-war prisoner camps.
Right.
And he walked across the street as a young boy eating a piece of bread. And all these starving men and women were behind barbed wire watching him. And somebody grabbed him and took him back across the street. And so he related to me that these people in these camps post-World War II were given no food, no cover, no health care, not a thing. They didn't even get water. And their camp was within sight of a river.
Well, doesn't that go to the whole thing of the presumption of innocence? You don't know the story of these people until they're tried, which goes to the whole terrorist thing in Guantanamo and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. No one knows what these people were. You know, their family members could have been threatened and said, look, if you don't comply, and they did this with a lot of scientists and engineers, if you don't cooperate, we will kill your family.
Well, largely, this was members of the German army.
No, I know that. But what I'm saying is
civilians
that,
in. And but the people.
But wait, what I'm saying is that they were en masse, collectively punished without trial, and put in jail.
Definitely. And it was worse than being put in jail. They were put into a compound and given nothing, no shelter, no nothing, not anything to eat. They literally ate the trees and the grass. They dug the ground to get the roots out. Okay? For shelter, they could dig a hole in the ground. And the German people outside the fence, under threat of being thrown inside the fence, were not to help them. But they used to walk by, he says, and they would throw a loaf of bread or a package of cigarettes over to these people, these starving people inside this compound. Get the book. You've got to read it. You won't believe it.
Well, no, and that's where, no, but, you know, to the victor go the spoils, and one of those spoils is being able to write history.
Yeah.
You know, what's the old adage about he who controls the present controls the future, and he who controls the future controls the past.
Yeah, but this was uncovered by a. I guess you call them a revision.
And I'm not German, and I'm even begging the German people here in the United States. There's 43 million Germans here in the United States to wake up and see. Look, they're doing it again. It's the very same thing that has gone on in every republic, where these kingdoms, these royal families from around the world, are trying to crash the republic. And when you look at what we own and control, DOD, Department of Defense, owns 66 million acres worldwide. If there is no more republic, that 66 million acres will go into the control of some private hands.
Right, yeah.
And that's what they're after. And that's just such a – that 66 million acres is worth hundreds of trillions of dollars. But it's nothing compared to what they're after, which is everything else.
Yep.
That's just one little token piece of chump change, and it's not chump change. It's hundreds. It's literally the 66 million acres. It's not just the land. It's not just the land that it's near, you know, the geographical positioning of this land in the world. It's not just the critters that run around on it. It's not just the timber that's on it. It's not just the lakes, rivers, and oceans that are on it or near it. It's also the gold and copper and oil and coal that is underneath that land. And that land is literally invaluable. Ed, you can hold if you want and continue, or it's your call.
Okay, I'll hold.
Okay, we'll be right back. 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Utopia Silver believes it is your God-given and constitutionally protected right to make your own health care decisions however you choose. You have a right to truthful information about natural alternatives for healing and preventing illness. We don't sell drugs or tell you just to ask your doctor about expensive medications that only manage disease symptoms and have side effects that lead to still more medications in an endless spiral. Instead, we provide you with honest information and quality products so you don't have to depend on drugs. Utopia Silver is known for fighting for health freedom, but we also make and distribute some of the best colloidal silver, colloidal gold, and other top-notch supplements available anywhere. Take charge of your health and support our health freedom battles by visiting us at utopiasilver.com. That's UTOPIASILVER.com or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338. This has been Taylor, and you will be appreciated in Utopia.
How would you like to cook any meal using no electricity or gas and cook your meals off the grid? Well, now you can, thanks to the Survival Oven. The Survival Oven is the most amazing off-grid solar oven that can cook anything that a conventional oven can without the energy bills. By condensing sunlight, the Survival Oven can produce temps up to 350 degrees, cook delicious and nutritious meals, sterilize water, dehydrate food, and so much more. All at zero operating costs. The Survival Oven can be used year-round, even in the coldest sub-zero temperatures, and is a must for emergency preparedness and even everyday use. Visit SurvivalOven.com to get your very own Survival Oven. Order the Survival Oven now, and we'll get you started with two cooking pots and a recipe booklet absolutely free. At less than 10 pounds, you can take Survival Solar Oven with you anywhere. Call 877-642-1553 or go to SurvivalOven.com. That's SurvivalOven.com.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual? When he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-656-4806. 1-800-656-4806. Call now. 1-800-656-4806.
All right, I want to read a couple things before I go back to, and this is off the Coast Guard Wikipedia page, real quick before I go back to Ed, our friend in up in Saskatchewan. The U.S. Government Accountability, this is under authority as a law enforcement agency. The Coast Guard has law enforcement powers. It's a branch of military that says it has law enforcement powers, in contrast with the other branches of the United States Armed Forces, which are prevented from acting in a law enforcement capacity by the Posse Comitatus Act and Department of Defense policy. And Department of Defense policy is, of course, the UCMJ Title 10 that incorporated, Posse Comitatus. And also a bunch of U.S. Supreme Court case precedents like Ex Parte Milligan, Reed versus Covert, and others that bar any and all branches of military operating under the UCMJ and Title 10 from being involved in civilian affairs. Below this, it says the U.S. Government Accountability Office report to the House of Representatives Committee on the Judiciary on its 2006 survey of federal civilian law enforcement functions and authorities identified the U.S. Coast Guard as one of 104 federal components employed, which employed law enforcement officers. The report also included a summary of tables of authorities of the U.S. Coast Guard's 192 special agents and 3,780 maritime law enforcement boarding officers for American flag vessels without warrant, without cause, for whatever reason they would like. Coast Guard, and they need to go back to what Hamilton said about, you know, and instructed the revenue cutter Marine was be careful of your fellow countrymen because they don't like having their rights stepped upon. And I guess that's been bred out of us somehow. Coast Guardsmen have the legal authority to carry their, listen to this, this just blows my mind. Coast Guardsmen have the legal authority to carry their service issued firearms as a branch of military on and off the base, thus giving them greater flexibility when being called to service. And you got to wonder, to service to what? Because they are also a private, public branch of military that's answerable directly to the president, not the Secretary of the Department of Defense, and not the Secretary of the Coast Guard or Navy. This is not always done in practice, however. At many Coast Guard stations, commanders prefer to have all serviced weapons in armories. So the Coast Guard is now a armory for Coast Guardsmen who can bring their weapons off base, and no one else can do this. Army, Navy, Marine Corps, Air Force cannot do it, but Coast Guard can. Still, one court has held that the Coast Guard boarding officers are qualified law enforcement officers authorized to carry personal firearms off-duty for self-defense. So now we have a branch of military operating off of federal reservations that can carry home their own fire weapons for self-defense. What is the bright line? What is the breach that will get you to wake up and realize the Trojan horse and the fractured nature of this, where soon it will be all branches of the military that can do this? Because the Coast Guard is the least well-trained, it's the most ridiculous service I've ever even thought of, read about, understood, dealt with, to where they have JAG officers prosecuting civilians within their own little military tribunals. That is Nazi Germany. That is crazy. That is insane. That is unconstitutional. It is immoral. It is unethical to take military assets and target civilians with them. And it also says, and I'll go back to Ed here in a minute, as members of a military service, Coast Guardsmen on active and reserve service are subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. So you have a branch of military where they're under military law, and they all come under the code of conduct of military justice, administering civilian law, regulating civilian law, making civilian law through case precedents that they make in their own military tribunals of civilians. And you hear Congress talking about Guantanamo? What are these people smoking? What are you doing about this? Because it's just unbelievable. Ed, sorry.
Yeah, I've read a bit about this myself, and I think it's just a thin edge of the wedge that they'll have all the military doing it. But the other thing about it is that both in your country and in mine, the courtrooms now have flags with gold fringe around them.
Yes, but you have to be careful about that, because that's been misconstrued to an extent. But hear me out. The Suits and Admiralty Act of 1965 brought admiralty jurisdiction back into the federal courts where it belongs, because the Coast Guard took it out several times and created their own little courts. We're not supposed to have separate admiralty courts. Our federal district courts are admiralty courts. They're bankruptcy courts. They're criminal courts. They're civil courts. They're everything under federal jurisdiction, where you have disputes between states, you have disputes between citizens of different states, and you have some federal authority to have the matter heard in federal court rather than in state court. But what they've done is they've turned them literally and taken that admiralty concept, flipped it on its head, and now everything is under admiralty. They're even using the concept of a bench trial, which is an admiralty precedence, I guess, for want of a better word, to where you are allowed to give up your right to a jury trial, to opt for a bench trial, to have the judge, who would hopefully be better educated on these issues and more protective, hear the matter at bar, at the bench. And that's where this all came from. Now they have it under Rule 56C, to where the defendant can seek summary trial even and take away your right to a jury trial by asking the judge for it. Yeah. And to where they can... Oh, go ahead.
Can I add something here? In these courts, they can only deal with another corporation. And that's where we come back to the United States is still a British colony.
Yeah, and because the corporations rule. That's what the East Indian Company was.
No, but if you do a search for United States is still a British colony, you'll turn up a page on the Internet, and they have a copy of an act signed into law by the Queen, and it's a law establishing the social service in the United States.
Well, the
Social Service Act.
But the royal family, the Queen, owns more land in the United States than anyone else.
But the thing about
any other individual entity.
The Social Service Act, when you go and you get a card, your name comes up in a corporate fashion in all capitals. Okay?
Right.
So it creates everybody into a corporate individual that can be handled through these admiralty courts. They can't deal with a real flesh and blood man in those courts. They have to have a corporate entity.
And the medical benefits issue, the healthcare crisis that was self-created by the corporations, is the nail in the coffin because they, you know, these Republicans, and they're not Republicans anymore. I don't even know what to call them. I mean, the same thing with the Democrats. They're royalists. They're loyalists. They're feudalists. They believe in a constitutional monarchy, not a constitutional republic. They want, and they believe, and they were fighting this when Bush was in power. They believe that 50% of the American people are schizophrenic. They believe that 50%, and this goes into 9/11. If you question 9/11, then you're schizophrenic.
I guess I'm schizophrenic.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's great. No, but then they can label you, they can identify you, and they can put you away. They can shut you up. They can prevent you from running for Congress yourself.
Yeah.
They can do whatever they want, and they're using, you know, if you look into, like I brought this up on Jeff's show yesterday, the story of that Jack Nicholson was in with One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Mm-hmm.
His character, that's why he was wearing a wool cap, was based on a seaman. Because they used to use the Department of Health and Human Services to lock up troublemakers, seamans, people who would file a grievance, people who would get upset about not being paid properly.
Yeah.
Hold on, Ed. We'll be right back in a minute. 800-313-9443. Oh, sorry. I thought I heard the music. My producer's in... well, we have Leo in Mass. Let me go... Ed, hold on, but let me go to Leo in Mass real quick.
Hi, thanks for taking the call.
Hey, Leo.
You know, I think that a lot of us are kind of familiar with the whole bar thing. It's British... attorney registry or something like that?
Aristocracy or aristocratic registry or something like that.
Anyway, I think the whole problem from what I heard is on the Jim Guest show last Sunday morning, and this guy brought up the whole concept of codification. Now, unless the Constitution is codified, it can't be really enforced. And so that we really need to, on a state-by-state basis, codify the Constitution in each state in the laws,
and then they'll have to follow it. Leo, interestingly enough, the Coast Guard administrative law judge or judge, who's a member of the executive branch and a branch of military, said that these courts are not constitutional courts. He said that to me. He told me that these were not constitutional courts, and I'm like, what? How can you hold a court that is not constitutional, that is not created or crafted or a product of the Constitution, and in keeping with the Constitution? Because a court under the president is a court of the king. It's bad enough that we have our judicial officers appointed by the executive branch and not elected and in there for 4 years and out, just like other elected officials, like, say, the president and or Congress, and even many individuals within the executive branch, in my opinion, should be elected as well and not appointed. So it's not a bunch of, favoritism and nepotism that's going on. You know, we've lost control of our government. It's owned and controlled. It is the East Indies Company again. It is the corporations. It is the 13 colonies. The corporations own and control our government, and it's these families that are beholden to part of that own and control and operate within these corporations. Like, you know, and I brought this up before, J.P. Morgan came to the United States before the Civil War. He helped incite the Civil War. He funded both sides of the Civil War. He profited from both sides of the Civil War. He took down American financial houses prior to, during, and after the Civil War and made them English financial houses. He is also the same individual that was funded by his father, who was an English banker backed by the royal family. And guess what? He started General Electric, that owns NBC, and GE is the fifth largest corporation in the world. That is a royal crown possession. And Jack Welch was a knight for the royal families running GE. Go ahead.
Anyway, but can we get...
No, it's not anyway, because it's serious. It's go back to the Titles of Nobility Act.
Yeah, well, can we start at the beginning?
It's not anyway. Well, you know, but you all of a sudden you diminish what I just stated and the importance of it by saying that, because it is important and people need to get their mind around it.
I'm not meaning to do that, but what I'm trying to say is that if we can push through a codification of the Constitution.
I think it's too late for that. That I think people need to start waking up to things like the Coast Guard, which is what I'm talking about. And I want to go back to this real quick, and you go back into codification. But I think it's a good idea. I'm not knocking it, but I think that would take 5 to 10 years to get it to happen. And we don't have that kind of time. Under enlisted, under Coast Guard boot camp, it says the current 9 recruit training objectives are, and this is for the Coast Guard, a branch of military that can regulate and adjudicate civilian affairs, investigate civilians, issue warrants themselves for civilians, take personal records, medical records, and more from civilians without warrant, without going to an independent judiciary, Article 3 court, to do it. Et cetera, can take military assets and target civilians with them. These are their training criteria or objectives: self-discipline, military skills, marksmanship, vocational skills and academics, military bearing, physical fitness and wellness, water survival and swim qualifications, esprit de corps, and core values, supposedly of honor, respect, and to devotion to duty, which is supposed to be to the Republic and to the Constitution and rule of law, and to protect the citizens of the United States and not the corporation of the United States. Go ahead, Leo. Sorry. You there?
So, you know, I think that you're denigrating, because of the severity of the problem, I think you're kind of walking past a real way to gum them up. I mean, I think that the making
not
the
pop- not at all, because right now there's hearings, and I hear what you're saying, and I'm not knocking it at all.
No, but I mean, I think this
No, but this is not before Congress right now. What you're saying?
Oh, I know.
But we're before Congress right now on the issue of the Coast Guard. There's been hearings on it. And if people would get involved, then it would be like Congress would be like, they can't do anything but lay this at the feet of the Coast Guard, because at some point they've got to blame somebody. And when the American people are awake that you have a branch of military saying that it can regulate and adjudicate and carry on civilian affairs, how far over the edge have we already gone?
You get
conservatives and neoconservatives and ultra-conservatives and progressives and Democrats and real Americans and patriots going, whoa, this is too far. This needs to be stopped in its tracks. And let me tell you, they've done it before, because the Coast Guard has done this 3 or 4 times, at least that I can count of, and it's been stopped and pushed back. The Suits and Admiralty Act in 1965 took away admiralty jurisdiction from the Coast Guard and put it back in the federal courts where it belongs. You know, and this is a serious issue, because you have a branch of military carrying on civilian affairs. I hear what you're saying about codification of the Constitution. Yes, I don't argue it, but it's so far behind to make that happen.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I mean, while your issue is more pressing at the time, I mean, we have to attract them on all fronts because...
Again, I don't disagree with you there.
I mean, that's why I'm saying that we have to diversify and not just focus on one specific item, because I think game is that they're hitting us on all fronts, but they want us to go at one specific area, and then they'll just give a little on that area after a long, long time, and we'll think we will have actually won something when we're losing all the other areas. So
well,
we gain 10% and they gain
90%. Unless you do something like what you're talking about and marry the codification of the United States Constitution into what's going on with the Coast Guard. We'll be right back. Hold on, Leo. Hold on, Ed. We'll close out. This is the last segment coming up. Republic Broadcasting Network, your program in the zone, host Lieutenant Erickson.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hi, this is Tom DeWeese, inviting you to join us for the 10th Annual Freedom 21 National Conference in Oklahoma City, August 13th to 15th. Our keynote speaker is G. Edward Griffin, author of The Creature from Jekyll Island. You will also meet Chuck Baldwin, Gun Owners of America President Larry Pratt, a host of state legislators hot on the heels of the fight to preserve state sovereignty. And you will learn all the details behind the coming international ID and how the MEAC report fits in. Property rights, privacy rights, education, and the assault on natural health care, all will be discussed at Freedom 21. And John Stadmiller of RBN will be helping me co-host the event. You can register for the full conference or for just a day. We also offer a very special student rate. For more information, go to www.freedom21.org or call my office at 540-341-8915. The leaders in the fight to preserve our freedom are gathering in Oklahoma City this summer. I hope you'll join us at the Freedom 21 National Conference.
The new world order beast is genetically modifying your food. Genetically modifying. Mixing vegetables with animals. And now experimenting with viruses. Viruses. Without a long-term food solution, you will have just two options. Starve or surrender. Surrender. All canned food supplies will eventually run out. What then? Then. Grow your own healthy food and feed your family forever. SurvivalistSeeds.com is now the nation's largest bulk heirloom seed company. And it's owned by a real patriot, Big John Lipscomb. You can now have an infinite amount of healthy vegetables like a watermelon, a bundle of carrots, or tomatoes for a little more than a penny each. SurvivalistSeeds.com. And now you can go into business with Big John at SurvivalistSeeds.com by becoming an affiliate. See his link at SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com.
All right, we're back, and I want to go to Ernie real quick before I go back to Leo and Ed. It's a short segment, so Ernie, real quick in Indiana.
Yeah, let's cut through this Gordian knot of federalism. How about you guys start reading the anti-federalist papers and start applying some of those principles in your political activities?
Excuse me?
Well, you can talk about all this law stuff that fills up 50 bookshelves. They can use anything in the books.
I'm talking about
the
Coast Guard being a branch of military operating outside of the Department of Defense under military law, and people talk about whatever. You know, it's unbelievable. There is not a more serious issue than having military law, military tribunals
functioning outside of the Department of Defense. And
well,
outside,
sure, if you get rid of federalism, you get rid of that problem once and for all. The federalism is the Constitution. Get rid of the Constitution and start over again with the Articles of Confederation. The federal government is owned and operated by international robber barons who's using the federal government as an engine to make everybody in this continent equally poor. You agree with that?
I don't disagree with you. I don't disagree with you at all.
Okay, because we can argue like Pharisees about the laws, and
I'm warning and informing that we have this major Trojan horse of where we have this, like, you know, baby in arms Coast Guard where they save people and they jump out of helicopters. They've been converted into a branch of military overnight under the cloak of the war in 2003. They are now allowed to carry their weapons home. They are now a special branch of military operating in Homeland Security, not in the Department of Defense. And that's my issue. That's what I'm focusing on. I'm bringing all the other stuff in there, but there's not more I can say or do to warn and inform and tell people, look, you have to do something about this or it's all over.
Yep. That's, in other words, we need to turn Washington, D.C. into a quaint tourist attraction.
Yeah,
people
right.
take tours of this quaint old government and move the national, I guess you would say, the national headquarters to Omaha, Nebraska, and just turn it into a giant convention center.
You're right on the money, because Washington, D.C., it used to be controlled by the state legislatures. It used to be controlled by the citizens of the states.
Seriously, look at Anti-Federalist Paper 26. The guys laid it out 230 years ago what would happen if you adopted this centrist
concept where the central government was stronger than all 50 governors, where the central government was stronger than all 50 states.
Yeah, and the Coast Guard's job once upon a time was to shake down smugglers and shoot pirates.
Foreign smugglers, they've turned them
inland.
Yeah, foreign smugglers. They used to actually go after slave ships.
Yeah.
They used to actually try to shut down the slave trade coming into the United States, and now instead they're being used to enslave this entire continent.
Sure. And the Department of Justice and the Treasury, I was in a little foreign market today buying some dried squid, and it was informing you that the cashier might ask you your name and your address and I'll collect all sorts of other things for them.
And what you do is you say no.
The Financial Crimes Network and all that crap.
Yeah, and you say no. But that's where, like Al Gore said, you're going to have one of these to buy or sell, to get food, to do whatever. You're going to have a chip. And
there you go. There's a federalist talking again.
Well, and
they need to be put out of business.
Well, that's the Transportation Worker Identification Card, which is a biometric ID card that will have your medical records on it. That they're trying to use Lockheed Martin and the Coast Guard in integrated Coast Guard systems to force upon all of us.
Yeah. Well, stop it. Here's my last bit, being heretic that I am. You guys, you see this stars and stripes in this Constitution. You hold it up like it's a church.
I don't.
It's a scrap of paper.
I don't.
Forget it.
Thanks, Leo. Thanks, Ernie. And who else do we have?